Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Hey, football fans, are you obsessed with the game?
Oh, yeah.
Do you find yourself looking for breakdowns from every angle? For those who can't get enough, subscribe to Brian Baldinger's podcast, The Best Football Show, where he discusses the top teams and players from around the league each week.
That's what I watched this week, a dominant performance.
New episodes drop every weekday, including Trench Talk Tuesdays with former NFL lineman Mark Schlereth. Make sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Audio courtesy of Westwood One.
Hi. What's up, Ken?
Oh, nothing much. Saw your tweet yesterday when I woke up this morning. I went, oh, God, here we go. Here we go. It was a fun weekend. I thought it was a fun enough weekend.
It was an amazing, amazing weekend.
But your post on social media was the highlight of it. Were you trolling or were you serious?
In what?
About the trade. About the Deshaun Watson trade there. After the...
There's no troll there. There's no troll at all. I don't know why I had to go back. It's like people have totally forgotten what the scenario was, how low Baker's value was when we traded him. I mean, we basically got nothing for him. That's how low the NFL was on Baker Mayfield. Baker had a great year. He had an amazing year. I never thought Baker would play as well as he did this year. He's also not good enough. I mean, it's the hard thing about this for so many teams in the NFL, and it's what we're going through now too, obviously. Like, we are bottom barrel at the quarterback position. It's why in a bad quarterback draft, we're talking about potentially taking a quarterback at number two, because we're so desperate, as are all the teams. Tampa Bay is probably feeling, you know, pretty good about having Baker and the great stats he put up all year, and they're in a bad division, so they don't have to do much to win. But in the end, I mean, now they're not in the AFC, which helps. But, I mean, imagine if they had Mahomes to deal with or Josh Allen to deal with or Joe Burrow if he were on any other team but Cincinnati. He would be a huge, huge problem.
So Baker Mayfield,
Lamar,
yesterday, it wasn't a bad game. I mean, two touchdowns. I went back. I watched it. Washington did everything they could to take away. They did everything they could to take away Mike Evans. He still had 92 yards and a touchdown.
Evans was a total machine.
I think he should be a Hall of Famer. I know there's a log jam at the position, and maybe he doesn't get in, but I think he should be a Hall of Famer.
I thought he would be.
Mayfield was 15-18 for 185 yards. He says, obviously, this was a very... He did have a fumble, but...
It was an all-time costly...
He did say it was a disappointing, bitter end to the season.
I mean, right now it absolutely sucks. So it's disappointing overall because I believe in this team. I believe we had the talent and the coaching staff and everybody around us to be able to go far. Trying to take a step back, big picture, this group fought. And there was a lot of people that stepped up throughout the year. There's a lot to be proud of. And in this moment, that's hard to see. But there was a lot of young guys that are going to be on this roster next year that had to step up and did in a big way. So that should build confidence for those guys. And that's something to be proud of. And yeah, it just goes back to being disappointing and not making the plays when you need it the most.
See, my issue of it is I can't take anything away from Baker Mayfield. Again, as you said, he had a great season. However, it does sound like it's like almost like, oh, he had a great season, but this is why. This is not revisionist history when I say this. I think that it's all the truth that compared to what we've been dealing with here over the last 3 years, I mean, I would have rather them gone on Sally Jesse Raphael for them to make up or to work out their issues between the Browns and Baker Mayfield than any of people calling me up on Friday. I mean, in a celebratory fashion about the surgery, the possibilities that we're done with Deshaun Watson, that they could get out of his contract. Like, I'd rather do any of the conversation that came with Baker Mayfield. I mean, honestly, at that time, I could understand why they got out of it. But now, over the last 3 years, there's no way I can justify what we've done or what's happened as opposed to, I mean, what could have been? What could have been? And honestly, if he would have stayed, they'd probably be a playoff team, and we would probably be a little bit frustrated and asking whether or not he can get over it. You're right about that. But my issue of it is that why is it just willing? Why are we willing to give up on something like that? Why is it just this? Well, we can't catch Allen, and we can't catch Jackson, and we can't catch Mahomes, so we have to scrap this. I'm like, does Jared Goff not exist in this world? Am I in a world where Jared Goff doesn't exist, where he could approach a Super Bowl and then possibly play in another Super Bowl for another great football team? Now, maybe they'll go out and they'll lose next weekend, but as I see it right now, I go, why do we have to have, it's either the very tippy top where you're one of the three or four, or we're just searching for it. Why can't we compete? Like, they don't just hand out trophies to everybody. It's a hard thing to do. And I hate that this league has gone from, there were always your three or four greats, but there was about 15 or 16 guys that you could get the job done with. Now it's just, there's three or four greats, and the rest are just cast to the side. We cast aspersions on them and say that they can't get the job done. And then we love it because we hold these stories back. Baker's a great story. Sam Darnold, great story. These are great stories. And then when they lose in the postseason, like if Sam Darnold goes out and loses,
People be back out on him.
You know, I mean, it's a great story, but this is why, you know, this is why they took J.J. McCarthy, and this is why this and that, and always the this is why. It's like, well, wait, they're great quarterbacks. They don't just fall off of trees, man. And I don't think that last night, I really don't. I don't think you can justify what the Browns did based on just last night.
We justified what the Browns did at the time.
Like I did at the time.
At the time.
But I can no longer do that 3 years later.
We were screaming about getting him the hell away from here. It was that toxic behind the scenes.
It was bad.
And we chose sides, right? You either said it was all on Odell. It was all on Stefanski for not being able to manage that situation, which I certainly was critical of Stefanski at the time, too. Very early on in that season about why the hell Baker was still trying to play. Mm-hmm. Made no sense to me. Mm-hmm. And I thought that, but we've gone over that 100 times. Last night, you just saw a quarterback that while he was 15 of 18, well, how did they lose the game? They managed him like a game manager. That's how they coached him last night. They did not coach him like a number one overall pick, like somebody in the Josh Allen sphere, somebody in the Lamar Jackson. I mean, did you see what Baltimore did at the start of that Steelers game? They ran the ball with Lamar six straight times to start the game. It's just a different way of football. Josh Allen, same thing.
Well, then I mean,
Josh Allen was just out there a one-man wrecking crew for the Buffalo Bills. And it's just Baker's never going to be any
of
that.
Well, then nobody wins. Nobody wins. Because I don't want to hear it from the people.
Right.
There are people who have went with Baker. I mean, I get the emails. I mean, I get an email from a listener named Danny. And this guy, I've never mentioned him on the air, and I've showed you some of the emails. Like he's bought all the jerseys. He continues to love him. Every time the Browns lose or do something terrible, it's big, all caps the whole way through. And I don't get nasty back. He's not nasty to me. I don't get nasty to this guy. But I'm going, well, in that case, then I have to send an email back, and I go, well, then I don't ever want to hear about John Dorsey again. John Dorsey had the chance to draft Josh Allen, didn't draft Josh Allen. And I might not have said that Josh Allen was the guy, and I might have thought he was too wild of a stallion for the Cleveland Browns. It's not my job. It's his job. So apparently he missed on Josh Allen. So I don't want to hear anything again about what we're missing and what we could have had. So now we're just stuck. But I can't go over the revisionist history and say, yeah.
But that's what it sounds like you are doing, is doing revisionist history because
team's in a mess right now. They at least have a platform where they went to the playoffs.
Yeah, you're talking about the regular season that Baker had this year and now saying, well, that they should have never moved on from him to begin with. And it's like, we were in that moment. We can't act like that was 10 years ago.
I didn't say they shouldn't have, because I said at the time, this is untenable. We have to find a way out of this. Now, I will take to the grave, and guys, you can go back. I did not want to make the trade for Deshaun Watson. I did not want to do that. I didn't know where to go with that. I did not want to make that trade.
It wasn't because you thought he was going to have some unprecedented drop-off. It was character stuff for you. That's what you spoke up most about.
It was, yeah, and it was the mess of, it was just the mess of, there's a difference in rooting for a football team with a bad quarterback and then what we've dealt with. And I'm not going to champions pose it. Have I not been right over the last 3 years?
Yeah, you thought he was a really good quarterback.
I thought in the past he'd been a really good quarterback. I did not know if he was going to be a really good quarterback for the Browns. I mean, a year off is a year off. I said that to you a million times. And boy, a year off really meant a bit of difference. Now, the injuries hurt, and now you're looking at a guy who, remember, he had an ACL tear his rookie year. He's had a year off because of holding out. He had most of a year off due to a suspension. He broke his shoulder, and then he tore his Achilles, and then he tore his Achilles again. I mean, we're talking about most of the time he's spent in the NFL now as a player in the NFL has been either on a list suspension or injury, one of the two. My entire issue of it is that I cannot use last night for a playoff game as a justification. I just can't. I understood why they did it then, but I know that was the justification. But I wear this now. I cannot go back and say, like, it read to me like you were justifying the move because of what had happened. I'm sorry, I don't care for that.
No, the move was justified at the time by this show, you included, because we didn't think Baker was nearly good enough.
I understand, but he's
gotten better. He's still not in the stratosphere of those guys that we have to compete with.
But to quote you,
that's the problem, and that's always what the Browns were confronted with.
And to quote you, we have the benefit of new information. And the benefit of the new information is we've had experience over the last 3 years where I thought he was going to be out. I thought Baker might be out of the NFL.
It was trending that way after the Carolina disaster.
He looks like a good quarterback that you can win football games. I don't know if you're going to go to a Super Bowl. Really, I think the odds are stacked against him that he goes to a Super Bowl. And maybe there comes a time where the Buccaneers just get tired of reaching this level and they want to reach that level. And maybe they go and they take a quarterback at some point in the future. But as I know right now, I mean, we've made the worst trade in the NFL.
Ever.
And I got another guy where it's just like, yeah, I'm going to let Baker Mayfield fans be excited and say that they had a good season. He had a really good season. And, the Commanders doinked one in on the road. Hell of a job by them. Hell of a job by Jaden Daniels and the Commanders and Dan Quinn in that defense.
And you could see Jaden Daniels
and they move on.
Has a ceiling that
would probably be higher, yes.
Yeah, that would seem to be higher than Baker. He's just dynamic, making the play I know he played a lot of college football, but as a rookie to do that on the road, this was an entire weekend that was about needing a home game to be able to move on for these wild card teams. A drastic difference between home and away, yet he bucked the trend, and he went there, and he took that game. He took it away from Baker. He took it away from Bucky Irving, and Mike Evans is just sensational. But he took it. Jaden Daniels, that's what you're looking for. You know, that look at how he has completely changed the Washington organization.
And I hold off, getting all hot and bothered with you because I would love to be in the same situation of frustration in the postseason, quote unquote, as the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. But then again, I mean, you look at Pittsburgh, and it's really become old hat for them, and they're saying that they're in a purgatory. I mean, I had a guy, I'm honest to God, I will do the screenshot of the text. I had a friend who is a Steelers fan, because I got way more Steelers fan friends in my circle than you do. You're from an inner ring suburb. I'm not. That said he'd rather have the season the Browns did. Which I thought, this was the day after. This wasn't like night of mad.
Which we had people saying this was worse than 0-16.
Yeah. And I thought that's pretty wild. But because there's a situation like the Steelers, I'm not getting mad or angry with you. I'm not despondent with you. I saw some of the people coming after you, which, you're going to have that.
I think
he has a big presence online.
I think those people, I think they've almost converted. I think they might have left their Browns fandom behind them, and they've moved on to wherever Baker was going to be. That's what it definitely seems like to me. Because the personal shots, I have looked at those responses. A lot of them are funny. But the personal shots, I don't get that from Steelers fans. I get that from Baker fans. These people have left the Cleveland Browns over that trade. And partially, I can't totally blame them. Look at what's happened here. Look at how bad this has bottomed out. I mean, we're sitting here clinging to hope of accountants and actuaries and trying to make this nightmare go away. on insurance purposes. Like, that's what our conversation is down to. We're other places are talking football. We're talking about insurance.
Yeah, Fat Luck might be walking through the door coming up at 7 o'clock, just, you know, giving you the preview of what could possibly go down here. Like, we're getting excited.
I mean,
over
it is
insurance
brutal.
Possibilities.
It is brutal. And then, you know, we'll get to this probably in Lima Lakes, but I mean, just what a horrible weekend NFL wise.
Just not good.
Horrible, horrible weekend. And then I look back and I'm like, this is kind of what it is every wild card weekend.
Kenny Atkinson, we'll get back to the whole Browns history, Baker stuff, that whole thing coming up a little bit later on. However, Kenny Atkinson spoke yesterday. You know, the worst thing about last night, the bad thing to me is that we can't do the can't ignore so-and-so and four anymore, which somebody said can't deny so-and-so and five, depending on how many games we win in a row here. So that might be nice. When you think about that. Anything there with a chant? I love chants.
What do you want to do?
The person said can't deny 34 and 33 and 5. Can't deny it.
Okay. Exactly.
Well, fine.
Doesn't exactly roll off the tongue
all right.
The way it did last week. Hey, they weren't going to win them all. Come on.
Yeah. But I don't want to poo-poo everything that they do when they lose. They've won so many games, and I also don't want to sit there and do paralysis and go, come on, guys, we need to be worried about this. Like, yeah, every now and then you have a bad night. Every now and then that happens.
Yeah, that's what's been so amazing about them this year is that they have not had those bad nights. It's just few and far between. When in the NBA, I mean, the Celtics have had a bunch of bad nights this year. And most of their fans are like, ah, who cares? It's regular season. We're the defending champs. We're still going to be the favorites going into the NBA Finals or the Eastern Conference Finals if it's, you know, Cleveland and Boston.
Kenny Atkinson, though, was asked what bothered him so much about the loss last night.
What disappointed me was our first half was phenomenal defensively, and then the second half we fell off. So we couldn't sustain our defense.
So it's a bad night. He's bothered by a couple of things here, but that's his job. He did mention the third quarter issues are a problem for the Cavs.
We got to get better halftime speeches, I think. Our standards got to be higher. Like, I think we tend to relax when we get these leads. And you know how the NBA is now. It's snap of the finger, all of a sudden, you know, it's a tie score. So I just think there's a little bit complacency when we get a lead.
So for me, you know, I'm regular guy watching, trying to analyze whatever. It's 33-5 and 20-2 at home is not an issue to me. He's the head coach of the team that knows that, hey, there's going to be something here that sticks in there during the postseason. We have to find that third quarter situation. If you go back, if you're looking for some history there, remember that their problem was third quarters. I mean, a lot of teams have third quarter issues just coming out of the tunnel, sleepy, whatever. But that was an issue with J.B. Bickerstaff. If you're looking through the history, I think Kenny Atkinson knew that. They tried to fix as much of that stuff coming out hot, things like that in the third quarter. I think that he kind of wants to go back to that in so many ways.
Well, yesterday,
third quarter's been a problem.
Yeah, well, I think the real problem was the Pacers ended up going to something you just don't see in the NBA very often, the full court press. And Halliburton was out of the game, so it was weird. I think the Cavs just had no idea. Like, so you'll see, you know, because these two teams are going to be matched up again coming up tomorrow, and it's going to be a road game in Indy. And I do think Cavs will want that one because they won't like the fact that, you know, Atlanta got them twice. They don't want another team to get them twice, especially a team in the Eastern Conference that they could see potentially in the playoffs. So I do think that they'd be ready this time around for the full court press. Kind of like how Cavs went to the zone against Oklahoma City. And now I think Oklahoma City later this week, they'll be ready for the zone. I think it's just something, it's really hard for NBA teams to go junk due to the gimmick, you know, multiple times.
I think at this point, though, like, because you're going to find, you've won 12 games in a row, you had a 17-game winning streak for crying out loud. You'll probably have another big winning streak before the time the season ends, probably double digits, things like that. I don't. If you run into some sort of a problem, and you're going to in the postseason, you're going to play good teams that are locking up.
I'm sorry to interrupt you. Think about Cavalierly. You're just like, well, we'll have another double-digit win streak.
Cavalierly throwing out that the Cavaliers are going to have double-digit win streaks again.
That's where this team is and how non-bothered you would be by a loss like yesterday. That you're like, yeah, Cavs are probably going to have another double. How many double-digit win streaks have the Cavs had in the history of their franchise?
I got to tell you, this is where, you know, you and I just spent some time arguing with each other about revisionist history about the Browns. This is where the Browns conversations kind of creep into the Cavs because guys, they're going to run into Boston at some point, or a tough Knicks team that's going to try to get physical with you again. Like, it's not going to all be perfect. You will find yourself in a 2-2 series. You'll find yourself, you know, 2-0, and then you go, and it's like, all right, we gave up one. Now it's 2-1, and you're kind of fluttering with your emotions there. It's not that we told you or I told you. I think you go back to what Kenny told us, what Kenny Atkinson said. Like, I got to give proper credit where it's due. If Kenny's worried about, I call him Kenny like I know him personally. If Kenny Atkinson is worried about the third quarter, okay, well, let's pay attention to the third quarter. If Kenny Atkinson is concerned about the defense, all right, let's pay attention. Like, it's their credit to find the weak spots in their game, because I can't find it. I can't find
there
it.
There haven't been any this year.
Any idiot can look at a box score and go, oh, well, they shot 20% from three. That's going to be a problem for anybody. Okay. Well, that doesn't take much.
Owen, do you have a creamy nougat there?
I do.
There's a nougat?
Yes.
They've had all time, Cavaliers have had 13 double-digit win streaks. That's including 10, of course, right? That's two digits.
Yep.
But they've had two this year.
That seems like a lot, but, I mean, they've been in business for, what, 55 years?
And you had LeBron. You had maybe the best player ever.
Yeah, you had LeBron.
That still seems like a lot, even though they've been around for 50 years.
Mm-hmm. They should have at least two more this year.
At least. Well, you're running out of games.
You're
not
out
even halfway yet, guys.
Yeah, oh,
that's right.
One,
we're not even halfway.
But here's
we're
the
not
problem.
Even halfway through.
Oh, but Owen, here's the problem. If we're one of those streaks is like 20, then you run out of games.
Let's, for the sake of win streak.
You need them to end at 10.
Let's get an 11. I don't want a 10. 10's like you're not even trying. Do 11.
There was another I put out the interview we had with Jason on Friday over the weekend about Darius Garland growing up. Do you think it's more Darius Garland growing up or Evan Mobley growing up this year that's led to this success?
You know,
because I think that's it's not a fight, but it's a conversation to have. You don't want to fight it out, we can fight it out. I don't care.
I mean, both have been so good. I stopped you in your tracks last week when we posted, I think, online. We're like, who's been the second and most important Cav? And I'm like,
we never even talked about it on the air yet.
I'm like, could Darius be the most important Cav? Like, the fact that we're even debating it shows you that how balanced they are. Because, I mean, Donovan Mitchell's numbers across the board are down just because, you know, his minutes are down. You know, I've never seen Mitchell have so many nights in his teens.
He's the one that holds them accountable with his play. So he's the most important Cavalier.
He's their best player, but Darius doing what he's done this year. And by the way, 3 weeks ago I said Evan and what he's doing this year. Like, I'm vacillating back and forth between them because they've both been so good. They both made such a leap from where they were previously.
But you can have a guy who's the best player, but he can also not hold people accountable. Like, The only example I could use is Marvin Barnes, and that would be pretty unfair to a guy like Donovan Mitchell, for crying out loud. But, you could have a guy who's a goofball as your best player, and if he's not going to hold people accountable, you're not going to get to where you need to go. Donovan holds people accountable to where they need to get to go. Like, whatever he says to us is whatever he says to us. Clearly, there's a difference between what he says to us and what he says to them. So the most important Cavalier would have to be Donovan. But I'm thinking the second most important Cavalier. Like, I can make an argument for Evan because he's grown, because you can. I mean, Doris Burke pointed it out in the Oklahoma City game, the big-to-big passing, how much the better that's got. He's grown into his body. He's grown up. But with Darius, I think he's grown up emotionally there. I mean, Jason had brought it up a couple years ago and then brought it up again on Friday. Whereas you remember, like, Donovan was a little bit frustrated with him over the lack of seriousness during the regular season. Like, these things lead to other things. It's not a switch you could just turn on and off. And I think he learned that. That was 2 years ago. Jason had brought that up before that Knicks series. And then this last year was just a mess because of the injuries. And I think that was kind of like a wake-up to him. Like, hey, this thing's got to change and go in a different direction. And I think that you've seen a different level of seriousness here with Darius Garland It's changed everybody. I think it's changed everybody's perception of him.
Darius has been one of the most clutch players in the NBA too, which gets really interesting. The conversations we're going to have in the playoffs when these games inevitably come down to the final 2 minutes, like whose hands is the ball going to be? Like, we haven't had a ton of close games this year to really measure that, but Darius has been the guy that's come up the most when they've needed him. down the stretch. And that is what's amazing to me, because last year, I mean, he had a step back. He had 40, you know, in that game. What was it? Was that Thursday or Friday? And, you know, I know Toronto is really bad, but that step back was totally legit. Last year, he's airballing that. He's in crucial moments. He's hitting the side of the backboard. Like this year, they're going in, and you feel like they're going in.
Does Lima like?
Or does Lima no like?
Like?
Tell me likey.
I'm liking it.
I like it a lot.
No like.
He doesn't like you.
I don't like you either.
You're tacky and I hate you.
Like or no like? Like or no like?
But I definitely knew what I liked, and I definitely knew what I didn't like.
Well, I said it was a glorious, glorious weekend, and that, of course, Kenny, is because I'm an Ohio State fan, a proud Ohio State alumni, and I have reason to be proud based on what happened over the weekend. So,
Lima likes.
It is a play that, as long as they can cap it off, and I guess even if they lost in the national championship game, it's a play that will forever capture my heart, Kenny, as I acted like I was back in high school, jumping up and down, watching with the boys this weekend when this play happened late in the fourth.
It's not do or die, but it's close for Ewers. Pressure comes. Sawyer knocked it out and picks it up. Jack Sawyer headed down the sidelines. Ohio State scoop and score. And dagger from 82 yards.
Just an unbelievable moment. And I was in Purdue. I was at Purdue when they had the Holy Buckeye play. But this was in the semifinals. This was amazing audio courtesy of ESPN. And here is Sawyer after the game.
I can't say enough about Jack Sawyer. He's a guy who loves being a Buckeye. He loves his teammates. He's done everything we've asked him to do. He's a captain. He's everything that we could possibly ask for in a captain. And to make a play like that in that moment, you know, we talked about before the game, if you want to leave a legacy behind, you become a legend. He just became a legend in Ohio State.
Ryan Day talking about a guy that hasn't beaten Michigan. And he is a legend as they are one win away. Kenny, you said that was maybe the best Ohio State play ever that in your lifetime?
I said 38 years, damn it. I said 38 years watching Ohio State from the point I was a big fan to the point I'm an observer now. And off the top of my head, I had Holy Buckeye. The Holy Buckeye's got to be number one. Jermaine to Boston in the Rose Bowl. Zeke Elliott's touchdown run versus Alabama. I thought Troy Smith to make it first and goal when they were down by two against Michigan in 2005 to Anthony Gonzalez. I thought that one should have been in there. That Jack Sawyer play. Cardiac Kid on Twitter. I totally forgot the claret strip.
Of Sean Taylor?
Yeah.
In the end zone, yeah.
That was
in the third quarter. But this happened so late. This happened so late that it cemented a win in a game that, quite frankly, it was kind of bonkers because you got out to that early start. You're feeling, oh, is this going to be another walkthrough? And then credit to Texas. This turned out to be a slugfest between these teams.
But I don't know what I was more surprised by. That play or the fact that you were out with the boys, quote unquote, to watch this game? I thought you don't get to do anything.
A stunner.
Wow. Tone allowed to get out there and soil the oats.
We had to trade favors to have this go down.
Okay.
She's also an alum, right?
Yes.
If she was not an alum, ooh, would you be allowed?
I didn't know your wife went to Ohio State.
She just doesn't seem to care. But this is, we'll talk about this probably later in the show and obviously all week as we have another full week and a weekend to get ready for this championship game. What is this going to be played in March? Yep. That we are going to get there. But Ohio State, Notre Dame should be a ratings blockbuster between these two teams. But yeah, was acting like old emotional Anthony. Anthony.
How high did you jump?
5'11", 135 Anthony. We were jumping. I mean, we were hugging.
Did you get knees up to chest?
That became a mosh pit.
Okay.
But when's the last time you've been in like a mosh pit for a sports?
2004.
2002. After they won the national championship game, 2002.
Yeah, it was amazing. You know, it wasn't amazing.
Lima no like.
Wild card weekend. I made the case over the weekend. This is actually one of the worst weekends of the year in the NFL. And I took pen to paper. I power ranked the weekends for the entire season.
Wow.
For the NFL season. I feel strongly
I'll
about this.
I'll be dipped.
I'm glad you got your paper with you.
I got it. I got
it's
them
time
all.
Time to do it.
Number one divisional round. That's what's coming up next week. And with Baltimore and Buffalo, you can understand. The stakes are high.
And
the
so
games are of great importance. You've weeded out the bad teams like the, you know, Tampa Bay Buccaneers of the world. Divisional round, number one. Number two through 18, weeks 1 through 17, if you can bear with me here. Because I will put the regular season up until the final weekend. The regular season, every week, there's just so many games. When you get a dog game, you just change channel. You got another game on. You got red zone. You got none of that this weekend. It's terrible. Then I move to week number 19, the Super Bowl, which I put slightly ahead of conference championship weekend, which is number 20. Number 21, wildcard weekend, and number 22, the worst week of the year in the NFL. It is week 18.
Oh, I was going to say the week between the conference championship games and the Super Bowl. That's the worst week in the NFL.
It's pretty bad. It's almost like that should be when you play your national championship in college football, but it'd be too much of a layoff.
Yeah. Because I got to get ready for the draft at some point.
Yeah.
Those kids.
But it's just overall, Kenny, the home teams 18-5 since 2021 in the wild card. It's just so many people were ripping the college football playoff for the first week in the blowouts. This is what it always is in wild card weekend. It's a bunch of heavily slanted favorites for these games. The home teams win almost every time. It's just not that good.
It's always where the team that the plucky underdog, they score first, or they usually have a good first quarter until they get figured out, and you're like Milhouse watching the Great Big Factory. Like, first it started to fall over, and then it fell over. And before you know it, Denver's down by like 40.
Yeah.
After they start with a touchdown on a big, nice pass by Bo Nix.
That was
the Chargers get rolled over.
They're a team that barely got in versus a team that should be on a bye.
Yeah.
And would have been on a bye 3 or 4 years ago.
And they have the experience. Right. I mean, Josh Allen has that experience. The Bills have that experience. They know what to do. They know what to not freak out. And they just take over in those spots where that's what made Washington so much more impressive to me last night. They're on the road. Jane Daniels is a rookie. Baker, say what you want. Baker's got that experience, man. I was really surprised that Washington stayed with them and won that football game.
I tried to tell people last week, money line. Washington on the money line. Let's go. Try to make some people money.
Yeah, but you're just a hater.
That could be true. Speaking of which,
Lima Lai.
I already said Baker went down. So did the Pittsburgh Steelers.
They did.
And we had the poll up a couple weeks ago. What would be worse news for Browns fans? Like, if you had to wake up and it was either the Steelers winning the Super Bowl and Baker winning the Super Bowl, which would be worse? And I think the Steelers won the poll, but it was closer than I think a lot of people thought. But we don't have to worry about either now because both are vanquished from the playoffs. One final note.
I'm a no lie.
The Saquon Barkley move. I want to know what you thought of it, Kenny. They were up 12. There were a few minutes left in the game. And Saquon had an easy touchdown to seal the game. He slid. He slid early, too. Yeah. It's not like he went all the way down to get more yards.
I thought he could have scored because it would have been a 17-point game. Wait a minute.
This was huge.
19-point game.
This was huge in Vegas. More bets were placed on Barkley to score a touchdown against the Packers than any other player on the docket. Also, Barkley to score a touchdown was the third most popular leg of all NFL parlays on the gambling sites this weekend. How pissed would you be if you gambled on this?
How much time was left, do you know exactly?
I think there were 2 minutes.
Okay.
Less than 2 minutes.
I know you'd rather hold on to the ball, but you also make it a 3-score game. Yeah, but do you want to put your defense back out on the field? Maybe not. So
I think that's some of what was said. And Saquon is, you know, said all the right things about, hey, it's not about this. It's about, you know, making sure that we do exactly what we need to do. So he told everybody what you would want to hear, unless you bet on him, in which you would be absolutely miserable. Mm-hmm. And I know we got to go.
Lima likes.
Who knew? Joe Gibbs Racing, the vaunted number 11 car. Kenny, Denny Hamlin.
I did not know this.
A Buckeye fan?
He's an Ohio State fan.
He's going nuts.
You know what? I know you don't know about NASCAR, and I do. This is some heat-getting stuff right here by him. He is a Floridian. Denny Hamlin is. Now, I'm not sure where he grew up, but I know he's from Florida. Okay, he was raised in Virginia. I did not know he was an Ohio State fan. And people in the Southeast hate Ohio State. Like they like it's like Auburn hates
almost
Alabama.
As much as you do.
Then they hate Ohio State. I do not hate Ohio State. People in the South hate Ohio State.
I hate Ohio State.
And the people who don't love Denny Hamlin despise Denny Hamlin and NASCAR. He is despised.
So it fits, right?
Yes.
Because Buckeye fans are despised. Rightfully so.
What a great heat getting move, man. That's some good stuff right there. We are just about a month away from the Great American Race.
There you go. Let's go.
Maybe just about 5 weeks away from the Great American Race.
That's
the Daytona 500.
For Lima Likes.
Outstanding. I mean, this is anytime I get to talk NASCAR during Lima Likes, that's a good time.